Give them all a chance to adjust my mic because I talk sort of quiet sometimes. My wife says I mumble, but I appreciate the Lord. Brother Prysock, they're in the transit stage, I suppose. I feel like that blind man Brother Prysock was talking about. You know, he said, I don't know. He said, I was blind and now I see. You know, I was a very wicked man, and one night at an altar, God changed my life. I don't know how He did it, but He did it, and I was totally different. Now, when I look back at my life before I was saved, I can't even imagine. The other day, I was in Martin's, and I was waiting on a prescription for Zachary. And I was sitting there in a little chair there outside of the Martin's Pharmacy, and the wine and the liquor and the spirits. I don't know what kind of spirits they are, but it says beer, wine, spirits. I can almost tell you what kind of spirits they are, but I seen some people in there shopping, and I thought, I can't even imagine myself. I used to do that. I used to be in there, but now I can't even imagine this person shopping in those areas, because it's just so foreign to what now I am. And I can't tell you how it happened, but it did. The night God filled me with the Holy Ghost, I can't tell you how it happened, but it did. I was taught against it. I was taught it was nonsense. I was taught about everything. I won't go into that, but I was just taught against it. As what little bit of biblical teaching I got as growing up. When I got saved, I didn't even know the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything about, except for I knew that God was dealing my heart. And He saved me that night because of three little children knocked on my door and asked me to go to church with them. And so I'm indebted to children. Don't ever think God can't use you, young people. There was a little girl about 5 years old, a boy about 8 years old, and I think the oldest one was 12, lived next to my aunt. I went to Kentucky looking for a job. The very night I got there, they knocked on my door. They'd been in when it was all said and done, it was a 7-week revival. And they knocked on my door and asked me to go to church with them. And I said, no, I don't think so tonight. I'm tired. I don't think so. And here I was, just this old, long-haired country boy. And most adults would probably say, yeah, he's not interested. But you know, the very next night they came back and they knocked on my door again. And they said, you want to go to church with us? They didn't know me from Adam. And I said, yeah, I believe I will. They had no idea God had already been started dealing with my heart. I told my aunt on the way to Kentucky, I said, I'm getting in church when I get there because I'm sick of the way I'm living. And that night I got at the altar and I prayed and I asked God to forgive me my sins. And you know what? I felt like I was floating on air. When I walked out of that place, I was a different person. I was so relieved from the burden of sin. My aunt, she was backslid at the time. I didn't know anything about backsliding. I didn't know. I thought she was in church. She asked me if I wanted to come in and watch TV. And I said, I don't want to ruin what I got. And I just went in my bedroom and I just laid before the Lord and just enjoyed salvation. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, why don't you come to Him? I guarantee you'll enjoy salvation. Amen. Told a boy the other day, I said, even if there was no heaven, no hell, and no streets of gold, I'd still live this way. It's the safest way to live. Amen. That's not my message today, but I just had that on my heart. I feel like that blind man. I don't know how it happened, but it did. Amen. You turn with me, if you would, tonight to the book of James. Book of James. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Book of James, chapter 1. The Bible says in verse 2, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, away wanting nothing." Amen. And let me read that again if I can. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Amen. My Bible here says perfect, not meaning so much as without fault, but it means more in this sense as mature. Temptations will mature you. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for tonight. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to stand behind your sacred desk, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for all those that are here tonight, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd open my mouth to speak what's on my heart, Lord, and open their ears and hearts to hear, Lord. And I just pray, God, that you would allow me to borrow the anointing just for a short period of time, so that, Lord, I can we can be hear from you, hear from your word, Lord, learn of you, and be more like you every day. Lord, we give you praise, give you honor, give you glory, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I was, some of you know that not long ago we went on vacation, probably the first vacation we've had since my oldest boys were very young. Amen. But we're like most folks, we couldn't afford it, but we did, because we couldn't afford not to either. And so, I enjoyed that time with me, but being with my family and just reconnecting, because it was just we went away, and I was at my mom and dad's one day, there's a creek there by my mom and dad's house, and I went down to the creek, and I was seeking God, and God gave me a thought, and I'm going to try to share it with you. And I don't know if I'll preach tonight or just admonish you. God's given me a pastor's heart, and I don't preach like an evangelist. I love people, and I love to see people succeed. If that's a good word to use, I want to see people go forward. Amen. And I want to try to help tonight with my simple thought that the Lord gave me down on the creek in Missouri. And when it struck me, I thought, this is silly. But the more I meditated on what God was trying to show me, the more he brought on. I pray God to help me to bring that out. But I just want to talk to you tonight about skipping rocks. Now, I don't know, has anybody here ever tried or has skipped a rock or attempted to skip a rock? Amen. So that's what I'm going to talk to you about tonight. So, but I grew up in southeast Missouri, down amongst the rivers down there. Brother Armstrong knows exactly where I live. He's the pastor in my hometown. And I spent a lot of time on the rivers growing up. I spent a lot of time at the creeks growing up. And I've skipped a lot of rocks in my day. And, I sort of consider myself an experienced rock skipper. Now, I don't know if I could ever put that on a resume, I don't know that I could ever, you know, hang a plaque on my wall that says I'm an experienced. I've got training in rock skipping, and but I've skipped a lot of rocks in my day, and the Lord started dealing with me about that, and it was a silly thing, but you know, the Lord he showed me some things about skipping rocks. And if you've ever skipped a rock, one of the first things you have to choose a rock, right? You know, if you get bored, just go to sleep. That's all right. But when you choose a rock, you want to choose one that is sort of flat. The flatter, the better. And but sometimes some rocks will just amaze you. Some are unlikely candidates. You know, some of them just don't look like they would be what you'd like to try to skip. I mean, you're looking for a round, sort of round rock, flat rock, amen, something that you can put right in the crook of your hand so you can just give it a good fling. Somebody's an experienced rock. And I'm glad to know I'm not alone tonight. Amen. But you know what? Some are just good candidates. You know, I thought about Paul. If there ever was a candidate to be a man of God, Paul was it. In Philippians, he began to tell his pedigree. Let me just read to you real quick in Philippians chapter 3, verse 5 through 7. Here's Paul's pedigree. This is what he was, and he said. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuted the church, touching the righteousness which was is in the law, blameless. But then again, at the end of all that, he said, with what things are gained to me, those things I counted loss for Christ. So Paul was a likely candidate. I mean, he was of the right bloodline. He had the right teachers. He had the right credentials. I mean, if anybody should be used of God, it was Paul. But yet, when it all came down to it, God stopped him, didn't he? I mean, he had it all, but on the road to Damascus, God stopped him in his tracks. And he realized at that point, he wasn't the best candidate after all. And God smote him. And when he came in contact with Jesus Christ, from that point on, everything else that had happened to him, his education, everything about it, it just seemed like it was nothing. But when he came in contact with Jesus Christ, that became something. And Paul became a good candidate for Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ himself, you know, wasn't a very good candidate. He didn't have, you know, he was a carpenter's son. He didn't have a lot of money. He wasn't born into a palace. He didn't go to the good schools. You know, by the way, you know, my wife likes to mention, Jesus Christ was homeschooled, you know. So, but anyway, he as far as the credentials, he didn't really have them as far as credentials. But yet he was the candidate. And I said all that, but you know, sometimes when you skip a rock, there's some things that have to happen. And, there's some things about skipping rocks that I just want to bring out. And y'all bear with me, and I'll try to get going here. Three things I want to cut. Amen. You got to stay straight. When you skip a rock, it's all on how you land. Yeah. Amen. If you throw it crooked, it's not going to go very far. Amen. But if you hit that thing flat, it has to have momentum. And it's got to avoid obstacles. And that's the things I'd like to talk to you about tonight. Amen. Skipping rocks. Amen. First thing about, you know, all things, And when a rock skips across the water, it's not always up and it's not always down. But that's the whole part about skipping. Sometimes it's down, sometimes up. You know, as believers in Jesus Christ, you know, all of us go through those times in our life. Some of us are up. Sometimes we're up. I mean, we just went through a revival. You may be in an up stage right now. I mean, you may feel like every time you get down to pray that Jesus Christ is kneeling right there beside you, got His arms across your shoulders, and when you talk to Him, He feels right there. Have you ever felt that whenever you get into a prayer meeting? Amen. It just feels like Jesus Christ is hearing every word you say. I remember sometimes I've been at the altars and I've prayed and I felt the presence of God so strong. I've asked God, I said, don't even let me get up. Kill me right here. Amen. I don't want to get up and go to work tomorrow. I don't want to get up. I want to stay right here. I want to bask in Your presence and I want to go to heaven right now. Amen. Obviously, He didn't leave me there, but He made me go on. But there's times when we feel that way. But then there's other times when we feel like we're just skipping across the water. Amen. And all of it is the way we land. Folks, when we land, all of us go through temptations. All of us go through trials. My wife and our family has just went through one of the hardest trials. Actually, we're still in it. And I'd like to say that all the time we were going through this with our daughter, that I reacted, I went to God like I should. I like to say that I was a trooper through it all. I like to say I was a good soldier for Jesus Christ, but you know what? Sometimes I wasn't. Sometimes it got to me. Sometimes it felt like it was more than I could actually bear. But you know, when we get down in those places, when you're going through trials in your life, it's not that you're the only one. Don't think that you're the only one that ever goes through down times in your experience with Jesus Christ. Everybody goes through. I guarantee if I took a survey, every one of us could say that sometime in your experience with Jesus Christ, there's been times when you felt like when you got down to pray, the prayers were bouncing off the ceiling. It felt like when you tried to read your Bible, it just felt like words on a page. Whenever you tried to do something, when you were singing the songs, you were just singing the words. It didn't really feel anything at all. We've all been there. Every one of us. If you serve God for any period of time at all, you've had your up times and you've had your down times. But when you get into down times, the key is how you land. When you go through those down times, don't blame God. Don't get crossways with God. Right. Come on. It amazes me how some of the things people can blame God for. Some of the things that God that make people mad at church and make mad at people, you know, they get over the silliest stuff. That's what all about church fights are about. Is a lot of times is over silly stuff, crazy stuff. But you know what? We have an enemy that like to blow all this stuff up in our minds, blow everything up, and we get crossways with God, we get crossways with the church, we get crossways with the pastor, amen. And all the time, God's just trying to mature us a little bit. It's all in how you land. You know, if we land at Calvary, if we land at the foot of Jesus Christ, and we stay straight with God, amen, it won't be long that we'll be up off the water and in the air again. The Bible says, what is it in Isaiah chapter 40? It says, they that wait upon the Lord. Most of you can probably quote it with me. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. If we stay on those times when we're down, amen. If we'll land straight, if we'll stay straight, amen. We'll make it and we'll get it up. Amen. The next thing I guess I could bring out is that, amen, the momentum. Amen. There's no standing still with Christ. There's no standing still. If you're standing still, you're going backwards. Amen. But you got to keep your momentum. Amen. I was thinking about Peter. Amen. When Peter was walking across the water to Jesus, he said, "Jesus, if it's you, bid me to come." Amen. Peter was doing good, wasn't he? He was walking on the water. I mean, he was there. The Bible says he was walking on the water. But then he lost his momentum and he started looking for the storm around him. And when he started getting entangled with the cares of life and the storm around him, amen, he lost his momentum and he started to sink. I mean, it's like, I wouldn't even attempt it now, but years ago I used to water ski a little bit, not much. I wasn't one of these guys that jump ramps and, you know, do all the spins and kick off their skis and all that. And I'm glad somebody can. I was one of those two ski skiers. So if you were better than that, God bless you, because I was. But I was just lucky to get on the water. But you know what? It's all about staying on top of the water. Amen. And if you ever go water skiing, let me give you some advice. If you go down, let go of the rope. Just let go of the rope. But you know what? It's all about staying on top of the water. I don't care how you can do it barefooted, you can do it one ski, whatever, but it all has to be on top of the water. And it's such a hard thing to get up on that plane. But once you get up on that plane, amen, you want to hang on to the rope. Because that's what keeps your momentum going. That's what keeps you on top of the water. That's what keeps you skipping across the top of the water, is that momentum, that pull, that drive. Folks, we need a drive for Jesus Christ. We need a drive, amen, to go on for God. Amen. Because when we start bogging down and getting in the mud and getting the mully grubs, you know what? We start losing our momentum. And I've seen so many people, amen, lose their momentum of serving Jesus Christ until they finally just drop out. Sometimes it's hard, I understand. Sometimes things get around you, you seem like you can't, but if you'll keep your momentum, you keep a hold of Jesus Christ, you keep a hold of that bloodline, you keep a hold of something that's going to pull you through. That's why we need a church family. Amen. It's because we can't make it on our own. Sometimes we need the encouragement of brothers and sisters in the Lord. We need the encouragement of that song, that testimony, that word of God, that preaching of the word. We need that to keep the momentum going. So we can stay on top of things. Amen. You know what I got when I just took a team leader's job at work. And before I took it, I said, "God, if you give me this job, I'll pray for my people every day." And you know what? I did that for a while. And it seemed like things went so smooth. But then, you know what? I started slacking off. I just started getting frustrated at work. Things were going wrong. I mean, just, you know how it's a factory, and that's the way things go. And you know what? Things started getting to me. And then God reminded me, "You said you'd pray for them every day." So I started praying for them again. And you know what? Things have jumped up on top again. And now I'm back on the plane. Yeah. You know? And people respect you. Amen. But we got to keep our momentum. Yeah. You know? If you're going through a dry spell in your life, you're going through one of them down times, that's not a time to move back to the back pew. Yeah. That's not a time to be start slipping out at the altar call and going to the water fountain. That's not time to just lay home at church, from church. I mean, that's time, if you're going through a dry spell, you know where you need to be? Yeah. Amen. Get under the spout where the glory comes out. That's what they used to say. Get down to the altars. Amen. And pray until you get it prayed through. Right. Amen. Get it. You see somebody shouting? If you're going through a dry spell, get up against them. Amen. You never know. Some of that might splash over on you. Amen. But when you're going through those down times, there's going to be up times again. Don't lose faith. Don't lose momentum. Don't lose what you got. Just go on. Press on. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Number three, I'm not going to take long here. Amen. Avoid the obstacles. Amen. Avoid obstacles. There's obstacles, you know. Amen. You know, I told Matthias about this thought, and he said, you didn't use that illustration, did you? But I'm going to tonight. Amen. But we were down at the river one time when they were smaller, younger, and we were there, and there were some kids swimming around there. Well, I was skipping rocks, you know, and they were swimming over here, and I was skipping rocks over here, and I was doing a pretty good job at it. And I was getting them to the other side. That's the accomplishment of skipping rocks. You always try to get it to the other side. And, man, I was just skipping rocks away. And all of a sudden I skipped this rock, and just as soon as I let it go, there was a little curl across the street, there's a creek. I have no idea where she came from. She wasn't there when I let go of it, but she popped up, and I popped her on the side of the head. And folks, I'll tell you what, I never felt so bad in my life. I apologized all over myself. Amen. But you got to avoid the obstacles. Because if you don't avoid the obstacles, you're not going to get it. Amen. You know what, folks? You can't listen to every preacher on the TV. You can't listen to every preacher on the radio. You know where you need to get your food, don't you? You need to come to church. Amen. You need to be a pastor behind a pastor you know is telling you the truth. Amen. It's good to gain some things from them, but you can't believe everything they say. You can't, everything you read, you can't believe. Amen. Folks, old children aren't getting taught the truth anymore in schools. Amen. We're filled with philosophies, and they're not even teaching true American history anymore. Amen. I'll tell you what, there's obstacles out there. We do have an enemy of our soul. He's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. He puts obstacles in our way. He puts, but the Bible says that, that Jesus said, I go away. Was it in John? Let me see if I can find it real quick here. Y'all help me here. In John chapter 16, Jesus said, it's expedient for me to go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. You ever been in your experience and you needed a Comforter? I have. There's been many times. I needed somebody, something to comfort me. That he said, here's what he said about the Holy Ghost in verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Amen. Jesus, when he taught his disciples to pray, and he taught them that prayer, what did he say in verse 13? In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13. Amen. These people that say you have to sin a little every day. I don't know if you've come across those people or not. That's the big thing going around today. It's an easy believism. I mean, it's easy. You know, if you convince yourself you got to sin every day, then you'll do it. Amen. When I quit smoking, and I'm not glorying in my past, but when I quit smoking, I had to quit cold turkey. It wasn't just cutting down this little bit everyday stuff for me. The only way I could do it was to quit it altogether. Amen. But Jesus said, whenever he was talking, he said, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now that's Jesus talking to the Father. He said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You believe Jesus Christ can keep us from evil? And keep us from temptations? And deliver us from evil? Because He does have the power to do that. He does have the power to help us to avoid the obstacles of life. So that we can live a victorious life day by day by day. We can get up saved. We can go to bed saved. I believe that. We can live all day long saved. Amen. I believe we can do that. Amen. And folks, we must avoid the obstacles. We must stay straight with God, folks. Stay straight with God. Stay straight with the pastor. Stay straight in church. Stay straight on this way. Because narrow is the way. And straight is the way that leadeth. Amen. You know, it's a straight way. He's told us that. We've got to stay straight. Amen. Amen. Keep your momentum. Don't let up. There's no time to be letting back. I don't know when Jesus is coming. But I know, like Brother Prysock was saying, I know He is coming. It made me think of that old song, Jesus is coming soon, morning, night, or noon. Amen. I believe He's coming. Someday He's coming. It's no time to let up, folks. It's no time to go back. It's no time to lose your momentum and fall out with God. Stay straight with God. Keep your momentum and avoid the obstacles at all cost. Amen. If you have to avoid going places or doing things, if that's what keeps you safe, do it. If that keeps you from reading certain books or watching certain programs, do it. Don't chance your salvation. Don't trade your salvation for this world's goods. Don't let the devil dupe you into thinking that it's all right. Especially in the day and the hour that we live in. If you want to live that way, you can go somewhere and find a church that'll tell you you can live that way. But it's not the truth. We have a Savior that can give us power over sin and keep us there. Amen? Amen. Avoid the obstacles. And you know what? What's going to happen? As we skip along on this journey to heaven, you know what's going to happen? Sooner or later, whether it be the grave or by the rapture, we're going to be on the other side looking back and saying, I made it. I had my times, but I made it. You know, it was hard at times, but I made it. We're going to see Jesus face to face and say, Lord, I made it. I didn't think so sometimes, but I made it. With the Holy Ghost's help, I made it. Amen. One of these days, folks, we're going to step on the other side. And we're going to be like Paul. What did he say? I've run the race. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Folks, we've got such a reward waiting on the other side. Amen. When those priests stepped into the water, when they stepped into the water, Jordan rolled back and got on the other side. Amen. They made it. One of these days, we're going to step in. Amen. And whether it be the grave or the rapture, we're going to step into it. And we're going to be looking on the other side. Amen. Don't you want to make it? Don't you want to see Jesus? Don't you want to see your loved ones on the other side? I got friends. I got loved ones on the other side. Amen. I don't want to lose it. I want to go on. Amen. If you need the Holy Ghost tonight, amen. You need the Holy Ghost tonight. Let me put it that way. Because He needs to help you on this journey. Amen. As you go through your up times and your down times, you're a new Christian. You don't have the Holy Ghost yet. If you're an older Christian, you know what? You need to seek the Holy Ghost. Amen. Until He empowers you from on high. Until you get that Comforter and that Spirit of Truth, especially in the last day that we live in. Amen. We need the Spirit of Truth inside of us to check us. I had to go to a guy at work the other day and apologize because the Holy Ghost checked me because my spirit wasn't right when I talked to him. Did I raise my voice? No, I just didn't. I didn't really care what he said, and I didn't care what he had to say. But you know what? When I drove away, I knew I had to go back and apologize. Did I want to? Absolutely not. But I did because the Holy Ghost checked me. And what's the good thing about that? I know I'm rambling on, but what the good thing about is with the Holy Ghost, it's not only bad things that the Holy Ghost will check you on. Sometimes you'll be, I had an experience the other day. I was in a grocery store, and the Holy Ghost just checked me and said, pay for a grocery, or pay for whatever she was getting. I can't remember what it was now. And I said, Becky, I wish they had the money to pay for it. She said, do it. We paid for it, and we was trying to get out of there and get going before she realized it. But you know what? That's the blessing of having the Holy Ghost. I've had people, it was Brother Kincaid talking about it, and I'm quitting. Talking about that lady that Sister Kim was working with. I had a man that treated me like trash. I'm not kidding. His name is Ronnie, and he treated me bad just because I was a Christian. But you know, one day I was in my car and I was reading my Bible and I was listening to the radio station, and God spoke to me and said, pray for Ronnie. And you know, I knelt to this day, I knelt my head, I just bowed my head and said, God, just help Ronnie. I don't know what he's going through, but help him. And I walked into that place and I said, Ronnie, I'm praying for you. And you know what? A wall fell down. I mean, it's just like, you could have blew him over with a feather. I mean, a wall fell down. A few weeks later, Ronnie came to me. As I was coming into work, he said, Bud, save me. I said, Ronnie, I can't save you, but I know who can. I took him out behind a stack of pallets and we prayed him through to salvation because the Holy Ghost told me to pray for him. Amen. That's the blessing of the Holy Ghost, folks. That's the blessing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Skipping rocks. Amen. You may feel like an unlikely candidate, but Jesus has thrown you into this thing. And you're going to have your high times, and you're going to have your low times. I'm just warning you. If you're a new Christian, it's going to happen. Does that mean we're saved or not saved? Absolutely not. But there's going to be times when you just don't feel. But thank God we're not of an experience with feelings, because sometimes you just don't feel it. But it's a faith. And if you'll stay straight with God, you'll rise again. Amen. If you're here tonight, if y'all want to stand, get ready. If you're here tonight, you're going through one of them low times. You're going through one of those temptations. You're going through one of those things. Those just the cares of life are getting you down. You know what? You know where you need to be? I don't even have to tell you. You need to be up here. You need to be up here. If you're on the high, you're flying high, you know where you need to be? Up here. God may speak to you to pray for somebody. God may speak to you to pray for somebody that's not even here. If you need the Holy Ghost, folks, I can't stress it enough. You need to pray. Seek the Holy Ghost in the last days. You need the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We're going to make it, folks. We're going to make it. Amen. Lord bless you. Amen. God's going to help us. Amen. Let's come around the altars tonight and pray.